We have been studying about people of faith as recorded in Hebrews chapter 11. And today we are going to study about Noah and his faith. One of the noticeable teachings in Hebrews chapter 11 is that though it talks about faith, one common faith, the faith in a sense, it demonstrates and displays the colorful nature of that faith. Though there is only one object of faith, which is God, there are so many different ways to demonstrate it. The demonstration of faith seems to be very much different from person to person, from individual to individual. Or, at least, this particular chapter gives us varieties of displays of faith. For example, Abel did not have any preceding example of a person who died for his faith. Enoch had not seen anybody who was translated into eternity without seeing death. Now we come to a person, Noah, who built a boat and loaded that boat with all the animal samples by couples. He had not seen such a big boat in his life before, and there was no such a flood before either. As we can see, individuals live in different times in history, and they face very much different challenges of life. Even though we may live in the same days, contemporary time, but still our experiences are very much different from person to person. As we can see, individuals live in different times in history, and at the same time, those individuals do face different challenges of life. One remarkable lesson we must be able to learn from it is that at times, we may have to exercise our faith, though the challenges we are facing at or before us are unknown to everybody or anybody before and presently, and present time. No one knows what we are going through, but still, even though we cannot find any sort of similar incidents in somebody's lives or from other examples and so on, still, what is required of us is to believe in God and live by faith. Noah takes a very important place in the biblical history. Especially, the Lord talked about Noah through his prophet Ezekiel with a very high honor. Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 14 says this: "Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God." Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 20 also says, "Though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter, they shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness." It is quite interesting to notice that God picked out three individuals from the Old Testament as the most distinguished and righteous people. And they are Noah and Daniel and Job. So you can see what sort of honor the Lord has given to this particular person, Noah. Ezekiel's days were very evil and wicked. Noah's days and Ezekiel's days, if we compare those two different ages, we'll be able to find a lot of similarities, in fact. For example, Noah was waiting for the universal judgment of the world by the flood, while Ezekiel was waiting for the final destruction of the nation of Judah. What they did was to show signs and warnings against their contemporaries. But very unfortunately, both generations did not want to listen to those warnings. They did not want to pay attention to those warnings. They did not recognize their sins. So as a result, they had to face certain destructive situations. Both Noah and Ezekiel lived through evil days when God was not honored but dishonored. During Ezekiel's prophetic years, God named three names as if they were his best choices as examples to the sinful nation of Judah, and they were Noah, Daniel, and Job. Here, must we know how highly God considered Noah during the days of the rebellions of his earthly creatures? Noah had not seen flood before. In fact, most, if not all commentators are saying that probably by until that time, Noah had never seen rain whatsoever. Thus, probably he could not fathom the meaning of universal flood. This man had never seen rain. If that is the case, how could he even imagine about the universal flood that had enough power and strength to drown every single soul on earth? Well, he probably could not fathom the meaning of the universal flood that required such a huge boat to deliver the lives from the dangers of waters. It is possible that he did not understand what it means by flood or dangers of water. However, the greatness of his faith does not lie only in those physical developments such as building a ship or rain or a flood. If we look at some verses from Genesis chapter 6 and chapter 7, we may have better insights about Noah's faith. They give us some background stories, and some portions have been already read through our responsible reading this evening. Let me give you some background stories from Genesis chapters 6 and 7. First, Genesis chapter 6 verse 5 talks about spiritual and physical darknesses of the days of Noah, as he says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." It is interesting. This particular verse tells us about Noah's days and the people, the nature of people in Noah's days, at least through three different ways. Number one, man was really wicked. The wickedness of man may mean his evilness or perverseness. It was great and abundant or plentiful. That's why chapter 6 verse 5 says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth." That is one of the conditions we can find from Noah's days. Second, the wickedness of man took its strong and deep root in man's heart. In fact, the evilness and the wickedness, iniquity, had grabbed the hearts of people in those days. How do I know? Well, according to chapter 6, verse 5, "And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." The evilness of man's heart was so strong, so deep, so the evilness actually grabbed the hearts of people. And even every possible, possibly thinkable imagination of every man's heart was only evil. That much wicked. Man was completely corrupt and sinful. Three, the wickedness of man was strong and tenacious because it did not go away but stayed on in the hearts of man continually. How do I know? Well, the last portion of verse 5 says that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil, it says, continually. It is not even sporadically. It is not even sometimes. It is not even oftentimes, but continually. But in fact, someone translates that part continually as all day long. So you can see how evil society, evil community, evil world Noah's time was. Noah did not live in a good or better world, but was surrounded by the enemies of faith or evilness of man. You know, sometimes we kind of give a lot of excuses why we cannot live by faith. We are saying, "Can't you see how wicked a world we are living in? Can't you see how wicked a people we have to be associated with? The influence of the world is so evil and so wicked, and I want to stand on my faith, but you know, can't you see the influences? I just cannot do it." Well, look at Noah. His days were so evil. If you want to know about how evil those people were, actually, from Noah's days, only 8 people were saved. Don't you think our time, in comparison to Noah's days, don't you think our days are better than Noah's days? But Noah lived in those days by faith. That shows how great person he was, in fact. It is also incredible that Noah did not have a single soul who could share his spiritual life with, apart from his own family, such as wife, their children and their spouses and so on. We can see his lonely walk on this planet by faith. He was a really lonely person. There was no person who could guide him through in this evil world by faith. There was no person who could encourage him to live by faith. There was no person who could be an inspiration to his spiritual journey. He had to stand on his own feet by living by faith. We can see his lonely walk. Such a state of mankind in Noah's days gives us a bit strange lessons. Here are the lessons. First lesson is this. Faith does not exclude problems. In fact, because there are so many problems, our faith does have an opportunity to be shown forth. It can bring forth the light. Rather, Noah indeed needed a stronger faith in order to overcome the troubling current of the wickedness of his community. It may be an indication that strong faith presupposes strong challenges. What a different concept, actually, we can learn from it. It seems that when everything goes well, we can demonstrate our strong faith. But when challenges are coming and when our faith is really required and demanded, that's the time we back down. What's wrong with us? Stronger faith presupposes the existence of stronger challenges. While we are praying for stronger faith, whenever there are problems, we are in despair. It is often the case that our faith proves itself through trials and difficulties of life. Second lesson is this. After all, faith is to be built up in our personal relationship with the Lord. Noah must have received lots of peer pressures and pressures from the culture of his days. There was no one who was able to take a side with him, but he was able to withstand the pressures of sin and pressures of the world. It is because he had maintained the integrity of his personal faith. I hope that we will not blame others for the reasons that we have not lived by faith. Today, here is a giant of faith. I hope that we'll be able to learn something from Noah's faith. Let me begin with some descriptions of Noah's faith. What Noah was told to do by God was a really enormous task. I'm not just talking about the size of the boat. We need to remember that he did not see any reason to build such a big boat at that time. God told him, build a boat. And in fact, when you are going to build a boat, you have to build a huge boat. And God commanded him to build a boat, but at that time, Noah was not able to find any indication, any reason. He could not find any justifiable reason to build such a huge boat. There was no sign of dangers. He had never seen any flood. And he had never seen rain and so on. And why do I have to build it? God, I understand that you commanded me to do all those things and so on, but I just cannot see any reasons why. And besides that, it's a huge task. Why? Well, even though dangers were not seen yet, he had to build a huge boat. Here we may find a few interesting points of his faith. One, it is a faith in God. It is the faith in God even without any precedence, any example, or prop that we may rely on. In other words, Noah never saw anybody who had to build a boat in order to avoid any sort of coming danger. He had never seen it before. There was no precedence whatsoever. But God told him to build it. And he started to build it. As far as the object of faith is concerned, all the believers of God do have one same object. It is God. However, we must reckon that everybody's faith is unique and very much individualistic, because everybody has his own unique situations or unique conditions of life in which he or she has to exercise faith. Therefore, by looking at someone, why such and such person, why so and so, people do not experience those things, but why me? Why only I'm the one who has to go through all these problems, all these situations and so on? Well, individuals are different. In fact, God deals with each and every one of us uniquely. Isn't that beautiful teaching? We do not have to be compared with other people. We are unique people as individuals before the eyes of God. This lesson has to be carefully thought through and observed. Too many people are trying to impose their faith experiences to other people, as if all are to experience the same things in the same ways. You know, some years ago, almost 20 years ago, I heard somebody's testimony, and then I thought, well, if I'm going to have my own ministry, I'm not going to encourage the people to give their personal testimonies, except their salvation testimonies and so on. One lady came up in order to give her personal testimony, and she was very sick. But through prayers and agonizing prayers and so on, eventually God healed her. So we praised the Lord together with her. And when she was giving her personal testimony, and she said something like that, "Doctors told me that I was very hopeless, and my condition was so serious, and I thought I could not be healed. But I asked the Lord to heal me by faith. And I fasted, and I made an agonizing prayer to the Lord, and God heard my prayers. Praise the Lord, I'm healed." So likewise, if you are sick here, if you pray just like me, then God is going to heal you. When I listened to that testimony, it really discouraged me. Because I knew that there were some people in the congregation who were very sick, but they were very godly and spiritual people. But in some reasons only known to God, God did not heal them, but by faith they had to suffer. Through that personal testimony, actually, she was casting some condemnations to those people who were not healed. We are unique before the eyes of God. We cannot impose our faith experience on somebody. I have done this and I have experienced it, therefore you must do it. If you do not experience it, something is not right with you. That is a wrong notion. Think about all these men and women in the scriptures, especially Hebrews chapter 11. Everybody's faith experience is unique. I hope that we will understand that point. Or some people are trying to imitate other people, even for the matters of individual's faith. Oh, he has tried this way by faith, therefore I'm going to try it the same way. However, it is neither correct nor true. Some are healed by faith, for example, but some die by faith. Some are rescued from the dangers by faith, but some perish in those situations by faith. Some succeed by faith, but some fail by faith. I'm saying all of these from human experiences without reflecting the work of God in them. At the same time, faith also includes the believer's faith experiences uniquely for themselves. Just think about Noah. How could he understand rain, flood, or total destruction of the whole world? How could he possibly understand about making such a huge boat? It's not all. Noah's father was Lamech, and he begat many sons and daughters after Noah. It means that many of the perished in the flood were in fact Noah's brothers, nor the sisters, nor the nieces, nephews, aunties, and uncles. Have you ever thought about that? What he was doing by building a boat was to condemn all of their sins and to warn them of their coming dangers of total destruction. How hard it must be. It was a unique faith event given only to Noah. We do not have to build a boat today. If you say, you know, by faith he built a boat, therefore let us build a boat. We have already here a very nice structure, so we can build a wonderful boat with it. It doesn't work that way. Though Noah had not seen any precedence, he believed in God by making a boat. It teaches us at least three things. Number one, we do not have to mimic someone else's form of faith. Therefore, someone says, you know, by faith I have experienced great things, and everybody is following that person. No, that is not the right way. Second, faith in uniquely our own circumstances enables us to do great things by faith. Three, faith requires our complete trust in God in any given circumstances. At the end of the day, the bottom line is this. Are we trusting in God or in man? Two, the descriptions of Noah's faith. Challenges against the faith are different from person to person. We are not going to have the same sort of challenges without having any sort of differences. It is because everybody lives in different times, different culture settings and traditional differences. Family backgrounds and upbringings are different, and our character and personalities are different. Values, levels of maturity and understanding, and all other personal factors are right there. And we are simply different. Every one of us is uniquely unique. Besides, in a bigger and wider scope, we are living in our uniquely formed society and community in human history. Noah's challenges may not be the same challenges as ours today, but all of us are required of having faith in God. Your challenges are different from mine in kinds and degrees. Therefore, what we need to do in times when our faith is required, we need to look upon the Lord, whom all other men and women of faith have trusted and believed in. Faith, to be my faith, must encourage and exhort us to develop my personal trust and relationship with God. All men and all women of faith are good examples to us, but we are not called to mimic their styles or forms of faith, but we need to imitate their trust and faith in God. We have studied two individuals so far from Hebrews 11. They are Abel and Enoch. You must have noticed that their expressions of faith were vastly different. Abel worshipped God with an offering in which he was able to offer his offering by faith. While there is no single record about how Enoch offered his sacrifices to God, but instead, Bible testifies that he walked with God. Abel died by faith. So, even though he became a dead man, he's able to speak to us by faith. But do you know that Enoch had never tasted even a shadow of death? Genesis 6b, the second part of Verse 9 says, Noah walked with God. Likewise, the first part of Genesis 5:24 says, Enoch walked with God. So, Enoch walked with God, and Noah walked with God. But one was taken out from this world after he walked with God, but the other had to be an eyewitness of the destruction of the whole world. And he himself later on had to taste the bitterness of death. God took one, but did not do the same thing to the other. Both walked with the Lord. In these ways, experiences of faith vary from person to person. That's why we should not lean on man. Oh, don't you know that he's a great man of God? So we depend on him. Would you pray for me? Do something for me. Give me some words of encouragement. Well, no. We look upon the Lord and we lean on God. We depend on him. It also means that the circumstances that God has put us to strengthen our faith are different from person to person. It means that we do not have to envy our brothers who seem to have more spectacular displays of faith and its consequences than us. At the same time, we should not despise our fellow brethren who do not have such displays but suffering and pain as they live by faith. Three, another description. What God does to us in situations that require of our faith is nothing but bringing us only to God. He makes our faith involved only himself. No one listened to Noah's warning seriously. Genesis chapter 6 verse 14 says, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch." God told Noah to make an ark, and this was an ark that could carry the whole species on earth and heaven. Noah had not seen such a boat before. The Lord gave him a master plan of the boat that he was going to build. And Genesis chapter 6 verse 22 says, "Thus did Noah, according all that God commanded him, so did he." And Genesis 7:5 says exactly the same thing about Noah. In dark days, Noah looked up only God, and he trusted in his words, and he just followed the commands that God had given to him. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, Peter says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. However, the world he lived in was a world of the ungodly. Only 8 souls were saved by the ark. No one seems to have cared about his work, his messages, or his faith. But Noah did everything according to God's commands by faith. That's why Hebrews 11:7, the verse 7 opens up the verse by stating, "By faith, Noah." Noah's life is to be characterized by faith. Here must I encourage and exhort you. If you are one of those people who have gone through or are going through tough times, sometimes I hear people saying, "You don't understand. You don't understand." Of course. How can we understand all things about everybody? You may be in suffering and pain. Well, kind of understanding I may have, but fullest sense of the pain and suffering you are going through, no one is able to understand it. Our life events and circumstances are uniquely individualistic. However, just in case, if you feel that people don't understand you and you are boxed in seemingly desperate situation, please remember, sometimes God puts you and puts us in such boxes because he wants to be with us. He sometimes does this for our benefits. I hope and pray that people will be able to summarize your and my life in such a way as the writer of the book of Hebrews did for Noah. By faith, Pastor Key lived. So, and so on. Something like that. You put your name right there, by faith. Four, another description of Noah's faith. Faith withstands wrongs and wickedness of the world. It is clear that the world Noah was in was very wicked. There are some more descriptions of Noah's world. Genesis chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, and verses 11 to 12.
Verses 6 and 7 say this, "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." In verse 11, "The earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth." So that was the situation. In the New Testament, the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 38, "For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark." So all things that people cared about in those days was to eat, drink, and have excitement and have fun and getting married and so on. Noah stood tore against the corruption and depravity of his own days. It is remarkable that he was able to keep his morality in his days. In that wicked society, wicked community, a wicked environment, he was a moral man. He was a righteous person. However, one truth we should never neglect is that the main driving force behind his purity in dark days was not his determination for good morality, but in fact, it was his faith. His faith kept him, maintained him to be pure, innocent, clean, righteous. Faith affects on the wholeness of a man from his spiritual life to moral life. If someone says, I have a good spiritual life, I'm a spiritual person, I'm a man of faith, but I do have a little bit of problems in my morality, well, it seems that they do not go together like that. Faith does have godly influences on every aspect of our being. Contrary to this faith, many of the professing Christians do not live by faith and are afraid of professing the name of Jesus in the face of the wickedness of the world. The wickedness and the evilness of this world is in fact a deterring power against their determination to live by faith. But Noah was different. He lived by faith and withstood the wrongs of his days. Secondly, then what was the thing, or what were the things that supported or encouraged his faith? If unbelief separates us from God, faith brings us to God very closely. Faith in God is an act of repudiating our independence from God, but promoting our dependence on him. It implies that faith is a means that God uses to lead and guide us through life we have. There are indications that Noah's faith is also a token of God's grace, without which even Noah could not withstand the trials of faith. There are a few things supporting Noah to live by faith. Number one, I must begin with the grace of God. Sometimes we make a mistake by exalting faith on our part too much. Faith brings victory. Faith wins the battle and so on. As if faith is like a declaration of independence from the grace of God. If we have faith, we do not need anything else. I'm afraid that faith is too often treated like another type of work. It becomes very apparent when some people talk about God's plan of redemption. They say that God foresaw or God foreknew that we were going to believe in Jesus, which became the basis of God's divine election. However, if this should be the case, our faith becomes a work or merit that results in our salvation. Because God knew that we are going to believe, and based on that belief, God elected us. Then the problem is that there is no place of grace. Simply because we are destined to believe anyway. So that's why, based on that, our destiny, God elected us. So faith becomes our merit. There is no place for grace. Grace is God's undeserved favor toward his people, sinners. The reason that grace is grace is because we do not deserve to receive it. Faith is the case of God's grace. The Bible says that faith is a gift from God, not a product of our merits or works. Genesis 6 verse 8 says, but 6-8, so far, verses 5 and 6 and 7 and so on, those three verses are full of descriptions of the violence and wickedness and corruption, depravity of mankind on earth. Then verse 6 says, but Noah found, what did he found? What did he find? Grace. He says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The uniqueness of Noah is to be found in the word but. He was different. Genesis 6-7 ends with the Lord's determination to destroy the sinful world. When it comes to Noah, the scripture says, but Noah. I hope that even before our names, that but can be added. But Noah, he found grace in the eyes of God. The grace of God was the motivation, the primary force, primary cause, main supporter of the faith that Noah had. If a person claims to have a great faith but does not depend on God and His grace, he's not of great faith at all. At the same time, a great man of God will depend on God more greatly than other people with less faith. And he will inevitably display his humility before God and man because he knows that he depends on the grace of God. There is no strong faith apart from the grace of God. The reason that Noah was able to do what he did was because he found the grace of God. Though faith takes more attention from people, we should never forget that the grace of God is the underlying power, cause, force behind the scenes. After all, it is grace that has enabled us to believe in and trust in God. Second supporting factor, it is a careful consideration about God's warning. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 7 says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. There are a couple of lessons we need to pay attention to here. Number one, faith is a response to the warnings of God. Faith plays many roles in our spiritual life. When there was a warning by God, though Noah did not know the exact nature of that warning, except that the world was in danger, his faith sharpened his perception about the work he had in hands and encouraged him to ready for the task. In this regard, faith is a very important preparation for Christian living against any challenges. Two, faith is a response to something that is not seen yet. Because we have not seen the things yet, that's why faith is required. Three, faith is a preparation for the work of God. Every work that we do for the Lord, for His name's sake, for His glory and so on, everything must be done by faith. God determined to punish the world. And God warned Noah about the matter. Behind Noah's faith, we know that there were not yet seen works of God. Noah was required to have faith in order to do something that God was going to do. God raised him to the work that he had assigned him to do. Without faith, Noah could not do the work, and faith was a preparation for the work of God. When there was a warning from God, by faith, he responded. Thirdly, it is faith in waiting for the things that are not seen yet. There are two important elements in the work of faith. One, faith is about things not seen. Not seen. Faith is about things not seen. Two, Things not seen are sure things to be seen in the later times. Let me talk about those points. The first point, that faith is about things not seen, brings us to the challenges and difficulties of living by faith, because we have not seen them yet. That's why it is very hard to simply trust in those things. Not being seen may imply two things in Noah's case. One is that there was no precedent that he could have looked up for reference or consultation. If he had any precedent before his experience, then I think it could be much easier for him to believe and trust in God. You know, let me suppose that Abel had to build a huge boat, and there was a huge flood, and a lot of people were killed and destroyed and so on. Even in small scale, then Noah could have had some sort of mental picture in his mind. Oh, okay, there will be a flood, and the people will be destroyed, but in Abel's time, just a small-scale destruction, but this time, the whole world is going to be destroyed. And so he may be able to visualize the things that will happen. However, in his case, nothing was there. It is difficult to do anything without precedence. Not being seen. Secondly, there is no understanding. There is no understanding from the contemporaries, because it was not seen by people. So when people cannot see those things, they say that they cannot believe, they cannot trust in those things. As a result, Noah did not have any single soul from his contemporaries who believed in him, in his messages. Noah must have looked like a fool to their eyes. Both aspects must have put Noah into a very difficult position. It also tells us about the maturity of Noah, who believed in things he had not seen before. The second point is that the faith is but for sure things. We want to look into the word not seen, not yet here. Faith in waiting for the things that are not seen yet. Those two words, not yet. These two words imply two things too. One is that the fulfillment of Noah had believed. The fulfillment of Noah had believed, or fulfillment of the things that he had believed, did not come through yet. But however, not yet, that expression implies that its fulfillment will be for sure. Simply, it's not here yet. So in fact, not yet, that phrase is an indication that the things are going to happen. And so certainty is expressed behind this particular phrase. And the fourth supporting factor of Noah's faith is the holy fear that Noah had. When Noah received the warnings of God, he was moved by fear. It shows a serious nature of Noah's faith. There was neither any dispute or any doubt about the warning. But by faith, he took it, and his heart was moved with fear. There are two things we need to be aware of. One is that by fear, he was moved. He was moved. It was not a self-generating feeling, but it was an inner sensation that God gave him through his holy fear. We need that touch from the Lord to be moved. His heart was moved. Two, the godly fear or reverence is like the pillars in the buildings, without which the buildings cannot stand properly. We may know lots of theology. We may know a lot of scripture verses, but without the fear of the Lord, without the fear of the Lord, our knowledge will not bring us to bend on our knees in prayer. It is, I think, one of the problems of a lot of theologians. And in fact, I must confess that it may be one of the significant problems of pastors like me. The Bible constantly reminds us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord made a huge difference between Noah and people in his days. No one's faith was sustained by the grace of God. Careful considerations about God's warning. And there was the fear, the holy fear in his heart. This fear is the extreme expression of his awe, his reverence toward God. He's not scared of God. That is not the sense of the fear. It is the extreme expression of his reverence toward God.
Then there were fruits of Noah's faith. Noah's faith was not something that was just simply talked about. Faith, if someone has genuine faith, that faith must be able to generate and bear, produce, bring forth fruits. Hebrews 11:7 once again says, would you like to read the verse once again? Hebrews 11:7, which is the text I chose for the message. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, Amen. Here, one remarkable truth about his faith is that his faith was a working faith. It was not a dead faith. It was a living faith. It worked. It had produced a few fruits. One, he did what the Lord told him to do. That is a beautiful fruit. Fruit of obedience. Obedience is his number one fruit by faith. By faith, when God told him to do something, he just followed it. He built an ark. It also means that he was faithful to what God had told him to do. And he also was a faithful messenger of God's own word. That's why 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 5 says, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. By doing what God told him to do, he was able to preach to the people about the coming dangers against their wickedness. So obedience, through that obedience, he was able to speak to the people in his generation about the coming dangers. Two, through the use of the ark, here is a beautiful, beautiful fruit. Through the use of the ark, he built the ark. You know, by faith he built the ark. Do you know how that ark was used later on? Obviously, he was able to spare the lives of a lot of animals, you know, those animal species and so on. But at the same time, he was able to save his household with that ark. He built the ark by faith, and the benefits were given back to him. His task was huge, and the ark he built was huge. But all he was able to save were the members of his family. You may say, oh my goodness, he's supposed to be one of the greatest men of faith, you know, in the Bible, but he saved only 8 people, including himself. You know, we may laugh at him. Well, on its appearance, the number was not that great. Only 8 people, including himself. However, I must say that it was a remarkable accomplishment. In his generation, there was no other person saved. There was no other single soul was saved, but every one of his household, family members, was saved. Do you think that is a small achievement? It speaks a lot of things about the man, Noah. The closest and nearest ones believed and trusted in him. If you have ever spoken to your loved ones, parents, spouses, children, brothers and sisters about the Lord for their salvation, you know how difficult it is. You may be all serious about your faith, and with all seriousness, with all sincerity and so on, you share the gospel message with your loved ones. Well, they know your past. When you were small, you were very naughty. And whatever your background from your early childhood and so on, they remember you and they are saying, hey, you know, what are you doing? What are you talking about? How difficult that is. Saving thousands of souls and saving all of his family members are very different. Do you know that? There may be a lot of evangelists pastors and a lot of revivalists and so on who can go out to the open field for crusades and so on, bring thousands and tens of thousands of people to Christ by helping them to profess Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, but still they themselves have not been able to deliver every single soul from their family members to Christ Jesus. Three, the fruit. He effectively condemned the sin as a sin. The world did not have any excuse for their sins. Genesis 6:9 says, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God." People could have laughed at what Noah believed, but they could not laugh at Noah himself. By all means, he was a just and perfect person before everybody's eyes. What a tremendous fruit of faith it surely is. His life by faith was exemplary and left the unbelievers speechless and dumbfounded. They were under the condemnation of their own sins and left without any excuse. He condemned the world by his differences and his righteousness. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. Used to say, "You and God can make a majority." In this case, Noah and God made a majority. Noah was a man like that. And fourth, he became an heir of the righteousness by faith. It is very interesting, as well as very intriguing expression. It tells us that the justification by faith did not begin with Martin Luther, but the very beginning of the biblical history, already there was a presence of the doctrine of justification by faith. By faith, he was counted as a righteous person. It tells us that the way that Old Testament saints were saved was exactly the same way that the New Testament saints are saved today. It is always by faith. Noah was justified by faith. Theodore Beza once said, "The color black is never better set forth than when white is set by it." Sometimes we give excuses for the reasons that we cannot live by faith. We are afraid of people. We are afraid of inconveniences. We are afraid of the wickedness of the society and the world and so on. And we are lamenting over the spiritual darkness even in England and so on. But do you know that in fact that darkness may give us an opportunity to shine forth through our faith? This is an opportunity. We have a wonderful opportunity to be able to shine forth our Christian testimony for Savior Jesus in this spiritually darkened world. We have opportunities. It is a privilege. The darker the spiritual life in England is, the shinier our testimony for Christ Jesus by faith will be. What a beautiful opportunity. Noah's day was dark, in fact, pitched dark, sufficient enough to bring the divine judgment upon the whole mankind. But Noah found the grace of God and lived a life by faith. He did not have precedent from which he could learn about faith, but through his personal walk with God, he learned about faith and lived by it. I do not know in what circumstances you have to exercise your faith. You may compare your situations and conditions of living with others, and you may be in despair. You are discouraged. Why my things are not better than other things? By faith, it seems that everybody is very successful and prosperous, and why, in my case, I'm in trouble and I'm in trial mood and so on. Well, my friends, learn from Noah. Noah did not have any person with whom he could be compared. And he was the lonely person on earth, but he lived by faith, and he was counted as a righteous man of God. It is my prayer that instead of being discouraged or disappointed in this world, or even in this country, I hope that your faith is going to be strengthened. You have an opportunity to demonstrate and display your faith in God. You have those opportunities.
Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for Noah. And we do thank you that he lived by faith. And by faith, Noah, being warned of God, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Oh, praise the Lord for Noah. Father, it is our heart's desire that we'll be able to make the same testimony behind us, Lord. Strengthen our faith, encourage us, and help us, Lord, to live by faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.